This Front Page podcast is brought to you by GoToMeeting. For your free 30-day trial, visit GoToMeeting.com/times.
The U.S. strikes a deal for new U.N. sanctions against Iran. Even if the Security Council approves them, it's not clear whether they'd be enough to make Iran stop enriching uranium and start cooperating with weapons inspectors. Senator Arlen Specter was defeated in Pennsylvania, and one of the early leaders of the Tea Party won the Republican nomination in Kentucky. And one casualty of the Gulf oil spill could be a turtle named Thelma. I'm James Barron. We'll look at those stories and more on the front page of Wednesday's New York Times. Our top story says major Western powers reached a deal on sanctions for Iran. Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton said Russia and China had agreed on a fourth set of sanctions in as many years. That sets off a contest with Tehran to win support in the UN Security Council. On Monday, Iranian leaders announced a tentative deal with Turkey and Brazil to turn over half of Iran's stockpile of nuclear fuel for a year. Three Senate primaries were decided on Tuesday. In Pennsylvania, Senator Arlen Specter lost his bid for a sixth term. He bolted the GOP more than a year ago, but Democrats nominated Congressman Joe Sestak. Specter had the backing of much of the Democratic political establishment, starting with President Obama and Pennsylvania Governor Ed Rendell. In Kentucky, a Tea Party victory. Rand Paul won the Republican primary there. And in Arkansas, Senator Blanche Lincoln failed to win a majority of votes in the Democratic primary. She'll face Lieutenant Governor Bill Halter in a runoff next month. In Afghanistan, a suicide car bomber attacked an American convoy in Kabul. The explosion killed eight people, including five American soldiers and one from Canada. Times reporter Dexter Filkin says the attack pushed the death toll in Afghanistan past 1,000.
What's striking about this is Kabul is usually quiet. The Taliban insurgency is largely a rural phenomenon, and this is largely a rural country. It's where most of the people live. President Karzai, the American commanders who are here, are preparing a very large offensive in the southern city of Kandahar. Kandahar is the spiritual home of the Taliban. American officials and Afghan officials have all been saying for the past several weeks that they expect that the Taliban would try to counter this anticipated offensive in any number of ways. And I think it's a pretty good guess that this is one of the ways that the Taliban wanted to get people's attention.
Times reporter Dexter Filkins. The Wall Street powerhouse Goldman Sachs says it puts its clients first, but Goldman sometimes appears to work against their interest when it sees opportunities to profit from their financial troubles. In early 2007, Goldman was selling mortgage-related securities for its longtime client Washington Mutual. Goldman was also shorting WaMu stock, so much so that Goldman stood to make $10 million if WaMu collapsed. Goldman also made $5 million from betting against WaMu's debt. Connecticut Attorney General Richard Blumenthal's claim that he'd served in Vietnam first puzzled and then alarmed former Representative Christopher Shays. Shays says he considered talking to Blumenthal but never did. Blumenthal, who's running for the Senate, now says he takes full responsibility for the times when he says he misspoke about his military record. The Gulf oil spill is a new threat to a sea turtle named Thelma.
She's a Kemp's Ridley sea turtle who lives her life, like all Kemp's Ridley sea turtles, in the Gulf of Mexico.
That's Times reporter Leslie Kaufman.
But she feeds all along the Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Florida area. Those are her prime feeding grounds, all of which are in the precise way of the spill. Dozens of Kemp's Ridley have already washed up on the shore along the Gulf beaches, but it is incredibly difficult to determine what killed them. Unfortunately, we may never know. When sea turtles wash up on shore, they are often so decomposed that we may never be able to tell what was the cause of death. It's part of the mystery that surrounds them.
Their numbers plummeted after an oil rig blowout in 1979. 9,000 of them had to be airlifted away from an area affected by that spill. We'll go inside Wednesday's Times after this.
The average cost of a single business trip is $1,000. Consider having your meetings online instead with GoToMeeting. Use GoToMeeting for sales presentations, product demos, training sessions, or collaborating on documents. At $49 a month for unlimited meetings, it replaces most business trips and saves your company money. Try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com/times.
South Korea reportedly concluded a North Korean torpedo attack sank one of its warships back in March. 46 sailors were killed. The finding would accuse North Korea of one of the worst military provocations since the 1950s. North Korea has denied involvement. It's threatening to retaliate for any attempt to link the North to the blast. Wednesday's Times says the admissions office at Harvard should have been suspicious about Adam Wheeler. One tip-off was the straight-A transcript he submitted from MIT. The thing is, MIT doesn't give letter grades. Harvard admitted Wheeler anyway, but he left amid allegations of plagiarism. Next, he tried to get into Yale, again using fabricated transcripts. He's now facing criminal charges over nearly $50,000 in scholarships and awards he got back at Harvard. More than 2 weeks after his arrest, Times Square car bombing suspect Faisal Shahzad made his first court appearance. Shahzad spoke only one word during the hearing. He said yes to indicate that information in an affidavit was true. People who've been briefed on the case say the hearing was scheduled after Shahzad indicated he wanted to stop waiving his right to a speedy court appearance. He'd been doing that every day since he was arrested. In Wednesday's arts section, Times reporter Brian Stelter says the biggest surprise on the CBS schedule for next season is a comedy called, we're going to call it Bleep, My Dad Says. It's got one of those words we don't use in the paper. The title's unusual, and so is where the pilot came from. It was inspired by a page on Twitter. The show will star William Shatner reading lines first spoken by 74-year-old Sam Halpern and posted online by his 29-year-old son Justin. That led to a best-selling book and now the CBS show. Times reporter Bill Carter says that's not the only buzz about the new TV season.
I think the most obvious thing is that NBC is changing its tune. It's being much more aggressive. It's not apologizing for all the mistakes it made in the past. It's pretty much boasting about the new shows they have and making a very serious sales pitch to try to get back in the game.
Times reporter Bill Carter. That's our preview of Wednesday's Times. For a look at all of these stories, go to nytimes.com. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.